Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The Department of Health and Human Services is looking into case histories from a clinic in Salinas, California, to see if doctors there were referring patients for an expensive prostate treatment, chiefly for financial gain. According to Bloomberg News, this may be a trend across the country and the reason why expensive technology is pushing out other treatment options. We'll connect you to Bloomberg News reporter Peter Waldman's story at hereandnow.org. Meanwhile, Bloomberg News editor Gary Putka, who oversaw this investigation, joins us now. And Gary, almost a quarter of a million men are diagnosed every year with cancer of the prostate. But we want to start with the case of 77-year-old Max Calderon. He learned in 2010 he had prostate cancer, with a high probability that it had spread. So what did his urologist, Amir Safarian, recommend for treatment?
Amir Safarian told him that his best choice was to go to a clinic 28 miles away from his home in Salinas, California, to have intensity modulated radiation treatment, or IMRT. This is a technology that has pretty much taken over cancer radiation treatment, not just for prostates, but broadly speaking.
And what does this do, this treatment?
It fires radiation beams inside the body at cancerous organs and such. It relies on imaging technology and sort of multi-angled shots at the organ and calibrated intensity to try to reduce the collateral damage that can be done with radiation treatment and to deliver a larger dose to the area where you're trying to suppress cancer.
Well, and that brings us to the questions your reporter raised. The case of 77-year-old Max Calderon. Not everybody is a candidate for this. He learned afterwards that he was not an ideal candidate, and yet his urologist, Mr. Safarian, didn't mention any other alternatives. What is Mr. Safarian's connection to this machine in this clinic 28 miles away?
Well, that's an excellent question. Safarian, according to records we've seen, billed Medicare and Medicaid $30,000 for the treatment that was done at the clinic in Salinas. Calderon never saw him there. He was treated, he says, by technicians who did the treatment. So presumably, there is some reason why Safarian, who wouldn't talk to us, was billing Medicare and Medicaid for the $30,000. It remains to be seen just what that is. There are other doctors who have referred patients to that clinic, one that owns the clinic and one that has made lease payments to the owners of the clinic, which indicates that they have a financial stake in the clinic.
Well, and isn't that illegal? Aren't doctors not allowed to, for instance, own a clinic that they might then send patients to?
Indeed, it's true. It's illegal. There are a variety of laws, the most famous of which in medicine is called the Stark Law, named for Pete Stark, the California representative who wrote it. However, there were revisions and amendments to the law, and a number of exemptions were created. There's all kinds of legal intricacies here to help decide whether or not it is illegal or not illegal. But for whatever reason, one in five urologists now bill for this service, which can allow them to get between $30,000 and $40,000 a patient in revenue. What doctors would say is that it's fair if they are going to be spending time with the patient at the time of the treatment, and if they have taken the risk to invest in the machine and have hired the people that actually deliver the service, that they could share in the financial gain. I think that would be their argument. And I think in some cases it's a legitimate argument. But if there is a case where the doctor has nothing to do with delivering the service, I think it becomes less of a legitimate argument.
It pays them, according to your research, 640 times what the urologist gets for a standard office visit, 20 times what insurance pays to remove a prostate gland. And in fact, this payment system may be influencing the treatments that people get. You say in the 90s there was payouts for drugs, Lupron and Zoladex, and suddenly it went from surgery when it came to prostate cancer to this drug.
Yes, indeed. Many urologists had agreements with the two makers of those drugs that allowed them to charge rather large markups after thousands of people were treated with these drugs, which were the chemical equivalents of castration. They cut off testosterone. The Department of Justice investigated. Some urologists were convicted, and the companies involved pled guilty and paid fines to the government. This series of events also resulted in a reduction in the amount of money that Medicare was willing to reimburse for the drugs. And studies have shown that after that happened, use plunged, and according to some folks we've talked to, some urologists looked for another way to profit and turned to this radiation treatment, which at that point was sort of in its infancy, and as I said, has now come to dominate. And another point on treatment that I think is very significant here, there's sort of budding research on how IMRT, this form of radiation, is changing treatment. And in several cases that researchers have looked at, surgery, which for many prostate cancer patients is a viable alternative, surgery use is plunged when the urologists involved have an interest in referring you to radiation treatment in South Carolina, in Baltimore, and in the county that we focused on in California. Surgeries fell, use of radioactive seed implants fell, and use of radiation soared after treatment clinics started to get set up.
Well, you know, what's appalling here is that you might say, before you do something when you are diagnosed with prostate cancer, ask your doctor. But this is the doctor, you know, referring these men to treatments. And it's the most common U.S. cancer, 242,000 new cases every year. And if nothing else, there's just a whiff of impropriety here. What should somebody do if they're told, go get this radiation treatment?
Although it may be a very awkward question, I think they should ask their doctor whether he or she has an interest, a financial interest, in the clinic they're being sent to or to the radiation treatment that they're being sent to. Indeed, I think there are some states that do compel doctors to answer that question or maybe even to proactively tell you. And then perhaps a second opinion would be in order. There isn't much other than that that a patient can do. And many patients who have cancer or who have just been told they have cancer are in a sort of particularly vulnerable position. I think responsible doctors, and don't get me wrong, there are many, many responsible doctors here, will give them a choice of options. They will tell them the pros and cons of the options and make a recommendation.
And it's important to get this information because, as you point out, some prostate cancers don't have to be treated. You leave it alone. It's not bad enough.
Yes, it's true. Most people who get prostate cancer, especially diagnosed after 65, don't die of the disease. They die of something else. That is not to say that waiting is always the option. It depends on the kind of cancer. It depends how aggressive it is. It depends on how old you are. But yes, waiting is now an option that more and more doctors weigh as a viable one, the kind of waiting that comes with active monitoring.
Bloomberg News editor Gary Putka will link you to their investigation into possible conflicts of interest in the use of a treatment for prostate cancer called IMRT at hereandnow.org. Gary, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And while there, do you feel you were sent to unnecessary treatments, or were these radiation treatments life-saving for you? Share those thoughts as well at hereandnow.org. And speaking of ethical questions, author Alexander McCall Smith is next. He says he asks them all the time when writing, even when snagging a second roll at a buffet, as we'll hear in 1 minute, Here and Now.